Turn to Matthew chapter 5. Matthew chapter 5. With the teens, the last 6 or 7 months or so, we went through the Sermon on the Mount. And if you're familiar with the book of Matthew, is chapters 5, 6, and 7 of Matthew. Don't worry, we're not going to cover the whole thing tonight. Just a small glimpse of what we went through. I think it was about 25, 26 weeks. We started in January and ended a few weeks ago. And so, if you have any questions about the Sermon on the Mount, just go ask our teens. They should know, right? Yeah. Kale, where was it given? Where'd he go? He's hiding. He was nervous. I was always saying, who's the sermon given to? And he'd always say, the Mount. And that was his favorite joke. It was about that funny every time. But no, we had a great time with it. But this is a message that Jesus gave to the disciples. And really, it goes to each and every one of us who have trusted Christ as our Savior. And it really, the Sermon on the Mount gives a picture of what the Christian life should look like. And if you're like me, it doesn't always match up to what Jesus gives them here, especially the beginning of Matthew 5. He goes through what is typically called the Beatitudes. And blessed are they. And he gives promises associated with different attributes of the Christian life. Some people parallel it to the fruit of the Spirit. But if we live out the Sermon on the Mount, if we live out the Word of God at all, it's going to noticeably affect our lives. And if you've been saved and serving God any length of time, you know that the closer you get to God, the more that it changes our life. And I'm sure there's many here tonight that if you had told us about things in your past, we would never believe you because of what God has done working in and through our lives. And if we're going to live the Christian life that God would have us, as the young people are talking about tonight, about running the race, is going to cause us to look a little different than the norm. We're going to stand out. And I remember when I was in high school, we got youth group shirts one time, and it was a black shirt and had like little silhouettes of people, and then it had one green highlighted person, and it said, stand out. And as you can imagine, we got several comments as we went places or whatever, mission trip and things like that. But God intends for us to stand out, to not look the same as those that do not know Christ. Titus 2:13 says that we're supposed to be peculiar people. Not in the sense of weird just for weird's sake, but distinct. Acts 4:13 says, talking about the disciples, that those that were around them says they took knowledge or they took notice that they had been with Jesus. They're like, there's something different about these people. Oh, they were the ones that were followers of Jesus Christ. That's how the name Christian was first given in the book of Acts. It was almost a insult term. It was identifier of, hey, these little Christians, these little Christ, that's what Christian literally means. And it became a negative, started as negative, but it became a term of endearment that we take, that's what we want to be. We want to be those who look and identify with Jesus Christ. And so Jesus, he's going to give us here in verse 13 through 16, is all we're going to look at tonight. But it talks about the influence that we have, or that we should have as Christians. If we're living out the Word of God as God would have us to, is going to make us look different to those around. Not just look different, but be different. So look at Matthew 5, verse 13. It says, ye are the salt of the earth. But if the salt have lost its savor, or its flavor, wherewith shall it be salted? It is thenceforth good for nothing but to be cast out and to be trodden under foot of men. Ye are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel or a basket, but on a candlestick, and it giveth light unto all that are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. And one person said that influence is the ability to affect others, whether for good or bad. And we all have influence. Some have maybe more than others, just depending on age and people that you know. Obviously, the little ones up here tonight, they may not have as much influence as those of us that are adults, but we all have influence. And we all are making an effect on those that are around us, for good or for bad. But God gives each and every one of us as Christians influence. He says, ye are salt, ye are light. But what are we doing with it? And as what we're teaching these young people, hey, don't be afraid to shine your lights. Don't be afraid to let others see that you love God, as they say we're singing about and quoting verses tonight. We don't want them to be afraid to identify as a Christian. And it can be a difficult thing. And the older we get, sometimes you might think, oh, it gets easier. Sometimes it gets harder. Because the more people we know, the more pressured they can be, whether in a job, whether within family situations. So what do we do with the influence that God gave us? First of all, we have to embrace the influence that God has made us to be. He says here in verse 13, he says, ye are the salt of the earth. Then in verse 14, he says, ye are the light of the world. He states that right now we are salt and we are light. Some maybe are shining their light more than others. Some are more salty than others. But each and every Christian has influence. It's something that we all have. From the youngest person who has trusted Christ to the oldest, we have influence. And that can be a exciting thing. It can also be a sobering thing. And I think many times about our son, he's just about to turn 8 months. And the sobering thought of is I am one of the two primary influences on his life. And a great part of who he's going to be is going to be determined about how I live for God in front of him. And every parent in this room, a grandparent, can identify with that sentiment of we are influences on those that are around us, especially those close to us. Ephesians 5:8 says, for ye were sometimes darkness, but now are ye light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. Walk differently. Be what God wants us to be. We used to be blinded by sin and darkness of this world, but now we're walking in the light. We're representing Jesus Christ. 1 Peter 2:9 says, ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people, that ye should show forth the praises of him who hath called you out of darkness and into his marvelous light. And it is marvelous to live the Christian life. It's not easy, but it's wonderful to serve God. And I love that song that we sing, it's wonderful to be a Christian. Sometimes we don't always feel that way as we're going through tough times, but it is true. And as we become more like Jesus Christ, we're going to become a public influence on those that are around us. Philippians 2:15 says that ye may be blameless and harmless, the sons of God, without rebuke, in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation. Does that sound familiar to our country and this world that we live in? It says, but among whom ye shine as lights in this world. Doesn't matter how bad things may get around us. Doesn't matter how this world may turn away from God. The darker it is, the more brightly our light will shine. The greater impact that we can have. And we can sit around and complain, oh man, everything's just going to hell in a handbasket. You know, we might as well just pack it in and wait for Jesus to come back. Or we can shine the light and be the influence that God has given to us. John 5:35, talking about John the Baptist, said that he was a burning and shining light. He made an impact. He did not have a very long ministry, if you're familiar with him. It was just a short time. It was basically saying, Jesus is coming, get ready. That was basically the extent of his ministry for God. But it made a huge impact because he was not ashamed of what God had called him to do. And so why do we need to embrace being the influence that God wants us to be? It's because it's impossible to follow Christ in a purely private way. There is no such thing as covert Christianity, at least not the real kind. If we're going to serve God, it's going to show to those that are around us. If someone tells us after knowing us for a long time, oh, I didn't know you were a Christian, that's probably not a compliment. Again, it's not that we have to every single time we see someone, you know, start hitting them with the Bible. I think we all know what I'm saying, but they ought to see the difference in our life. And normally a lot of times if people find out that you're a Christian, they're like, oh, yeah, that makes sense. If it's the first time that they have specifically said it. So God didn't save us to run and hide, but to live in this world. Not to be like the world, but to be in the world and make a difference. So he says that we are salt. You may have heard that phrase many times that, you know, that person is not worth their salt. That's not a compliment if someone's not worth their salt. And in those days, the Romans many times would pay their soldiers with salt. I'm glad we don't do that today and get paid in salt. But it was a very valuable commodity in those days. It was used to preserve food, prevent decay, especially before the times of refrigeration. I remember when I was a kid, you know, watching Little House on the Prairie, and I'm like, why have they got this room of salt and hanging up meat? And my grandpa's like, well, that's what they didn't have refrigerators. And I'm like, what? You know? Before my time. Salt was very vital in those days, and it still is. There was even wars and battles fought over salt, which is, again, hard to believe. And the entire economy is dependent upon salt. But salt is used for preservation. So if we are salt, what are we preserving? There's probably different ways you could apply it, but I think the most likely thing is that we are preserving influence on this world. Could you imagine how bad things would be if there were no Christians on this earth? We think things are rough now. Imagine if you took out any form of godliness, how bad things would be. And we think it might be bad now, and how much worse it could be if Christians used their influence even less. But on the flip side, how much could change if Christians as a whole lived out the Christian life as God would have and made a difference in those that are around us. So many times we say, well, there's not much hope left. Well, there's always hope. As long as God still has us here, there's hope. But we can still keep making a difference as long as we are shining our light, making a difference to those that are around us. So salt is used for preserving things. It's also used for taste or for distinction. Job 6:6 says, can that which is unsavory be eaten without salt? Very biblical analogy there. Can you eat something that's not flavorful without some flavor to it? No, I like things that have flavor to it. And salt gives flavor to whatever it's in. And there's a lot of foods that are noticeably different without salt. French fries to be a prime example of that. I remember when I was in college, I worked at McDonald's for a couple years, and it always drove us crazy when people would order fries with no salt. Normally, they just wanted it fresh. It's like, you could just tell us to make it fresh. I don't know why you'd want salt or fries with no salt. And I remember many times growing up, my dad's like, all right, give me the salt, you know, and adding different things to it to give some more flavor to it. And most of the time, we don't like bland food. We like some spice to it. We like some flavor to it. And you can taste that difference in it. You can see it. And while salt, you may not always see salt in something, but you can feel it or you can taste the difference in it. In this world, they need to feel the influence of Christians and churches. In our schools, in our jobs, in our government, where people say, hey, there's something different about those Christians. That's how it was from the very beginning. They got a big target on their backs. They're going around telling people what Jesus had done. They were excited about it, even as they were persecuted, thrown in prison. Many were killed. There was something different about them. And there ought to be something different about us. And we've all probably been around people where you just could feel a difference. Some people, maybe they're just kind of creepy, and you can kind of feel like a weird vibe. Normally, women can pick up on that more than guys. My wife sometimes say, yeah, I don't want to be around that guy. And I'm like, okay. Sometimes there's angry people. I remember when I was in high school, and one of the jobs I had, for a little while, I had a boss who was just a very angry person. And he could seem very calm, and he could just blow up out of nowhere. And it was always kind of like walking on eggshells around him. Not a very fun time. And you could feel the difference around those kind of people. Some people are just weird. And I've been called that many times. And you can just feel differently. And then some people, they're just different about them because of their love for God. I think about Miss Joan Yost. You could feel the difference just talking to her. The love that she had for God. The love that she had for our church. And you could feel the difference. And we need more of us to be like that. To let the Jesus Christ be shown through us. So do we desire that God be working in and through us so much that other people can sense and feel it? Again, we're not talking about a weird thing, but in a impactful way of having that influence. So he says you're salt, then he says that we're light. And it's interesting, we don't have to turn the light on. We are the light. And people are always watching us. It says here in verse 14, it says that a city on a hill cannot be hid. And many cities of that day would be built up on a hill so that they were visible to the surrounding areas. We could see that around here. Driving home at night, there's a few houses up on the hill. There's one every time I see it, I'm like, oh, is that a UFO? And I'm like, oh, no, it's just a house. And there's houses that are up on the hill in that prime location. But when those lights are on at night, your eyes are drawn to it. And the same is true in our Christian light. We ought to stand out, be visible, like a lighthouse that is as dark around us when we come into the picture, when Jesus is flowing through our life, there's going to be light that is spread all around us. And when light comes on at night, it cannot be hid. Darkness is only the absence of light. Darkness is just empty light, basically. But when there's light, it's going to be there. And light makes a difference. Because it's funny, you never hear someone being afraid of the light. Everyone's afraid of the dark. And maybe your kids were. When I was growing up, I was never afraid of the dark. I was afraid of what might be in the dark. And normally my sisters, you know, trying to get me or whatever. And we don't hear people being afraid of the light. Because it gives comfort. It gives security. It gives direction where you can see. And most of us at night, when we have to get up to go to the restroom or something, or hear, you know, the baby crying in the other room, you know, we're fumbling around trying to find light of some kind, whether turning on the lamp, turning on the light in our phone, whatever it may be. So salt gives it distinction, it can be felt, but light, it gives direction, it can be seen. And God says, hey, I saved you to make a difference. not just to sit around, but to impact those that are around us. But we have to embrace that, not run and hide from it. We don't want to tell our young people, hey, you guys go do that. We're done. No, we're supposed to lead an example with that. And the second thing with our influence is that we have to guard it. Because any kind of influence that we have, someone wants to take it away. Just like with parents, with children, the world wants to be the influence on our children more than us. And it's a battle. With all the media, all the technology, all of the things that they are exposed to, we're crazy to think that there's not other people that want to influence them. And that we have to be proactive with that. But as a Christian, we have to not allow our influence to be weakened. And I'm glad that it can't be taken away. We can't lose our salvation. No matter how bad we may mess up, no matter how much we may fail God, that light, it can't be taken away, but it can be hidden. But he talks about here salt. He says that salt that is no longer salty is no longer useful. And now, I'll never really remember having like bad salts or whatever, but normally if something doesn't have enough salt, it's not doing the job, what do you need to do? Add some more. And salt can no longer stop being salt. Sodium chloride is the chemical definition. It can't stop being salt, but it can be contaminated with other things. It can lose the saltiness because other things begin to overpower the amount of salt. It can lose its function. It loses its saltiness. So then you have to add more to it. And so we can't lose our salvation, but our influence for Christ can be weakened as the things of this world and the impurities come into our life. And sometimes we can look at our life and say, wow, I'm failing right now. My influence is not what it needs to be. I need God to come in and to help me and to draw closer to Him. And so our issue isn't if we are salt and light. The issue is, have we allowed impurities, things of this life, to weaken and to come in and take away from our influence? And others have a harder time seeing the distinction in our life when we're no longer salty, when our light is diminished. And our greatest hindrance as Christians and churches in many ways is worldliness. It keeps us from being salty, but from being like Christ as we allow the things of this world to come in and override those things. So salt, it can become contaminated. And then light, the danger with light is that it can be hidden. Now, remember the song as a kid, "This is a light of mine, I'm going to let it shine." It says, don't let Satan blow it out. Technically, that's not correct. It can be hidden. Our light can never be taken fully away, but it can be hidden, where it's basically, in a sense, no longer there. And it talks about here in verse number 5, it says, neither do men light a candle. It gives the idea of a lamp or a lantern or an actual candle. Today, we just pull out our phone, you know. Now, I didn't realize the other day, my wife said, you can actually change the brightness on the flashlight on your phone. I need my wife to keep me in line with stuff. But it doesn't make any sense to try to use a light that is covered up. No one's put out a flashlight, then covered it, like, hey, why isn't it working? Normally it's because you forget to turn it on. Or for me growing up, we'd have a thunderstorm in the summer or whatever, and knock the power out. So we'd all be scrambling, trying to find the flashlights. And then we remembered we didn't change the batteries from the last thunderstorm. And, you know, we're trying to turn it on for a second before it fades out. Or if you remember those hand crank ones or the shake ones, I remember those when I was a kid. And you're sitting there, you had to pretty much do it the entire time for the light to stay on. It was kind of pointless other than getting a workout. But a light source that it doesn't shine light isn't any good. And the purpose for letting our light shine is for God's glory. But sometimes we allow things to hide the influence, the light that we have. Talked about here, verse 15, it says, neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick. Bushel is basically like a basket. Now, is there anything wrong with a basket? No, normally a lot of good things come in baskets, like pies and food and stuff like that. And baskets are just part of life, but it says that it can cover up light if it's used incorrectly. And how often do we let just the common, ordinary things of life quench and hide our light? Things that cause us to get frustrated, just things that we just become so busy. A lot of times it's not that we're like, oh yeah, I don't want to follow God anymore. It's just we get so busy and the things of this life just crowded out, and over time we're like, wow, how did I get to this point? So what are things in our life that might be diminishing and covering up our light? Maybe it's hobbies, maybe it's media, maybe certain people, whatever it may be, we need to make sure that our influence is spreading to those that are around us. And He says here in the previous verse, it talks about persecution. And I think a lot of times why we don't want to shine our light very brightly is because we're scared of what other people are going to think. We're scared of what our friends may think, our neighbors may think, our coworkers, our family, because we're scared of getting too much attention. Oh, they may not like me anymore. Well, they didn't really like Jesus. He says, if they didn't like me, they're definitely not going to like you either. And he gives us in 10, 11, and 12, talks about persecution. And that's why he says, hey, if you're going to live the Christian life, it's not going to be easy. Other people are not always going to like it. We see it in the news all the time of Christian businesses that are under attack for just serving chicken sandwiches. And they get so much hate from people who just don't want anything to do with God. And just a testimony of light causes them to be convicted by their sin, and should they lash out against it. And a lot of times, not anything that we're doing, it's just living for God in front of people. It shows them that they're not, and they don't want that. So he says, hey, yea, all that live godly in Christ Jesus will suffer persecution. That fun promise, we love the claim. Yea, if I serve God, I'm going to have persecution. No, but he does tell them that. Hey, if you're going to make a difference, it's going to attract people, and not everybody's going to like it. Says, but we have to guard that influence from those thoughts of fear of what others may do and be what God wants us to be. And the last thing, we have to use our influence. And our purpose in life is to influence others to know and glorify God. I love verse 16. It says, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. That's our purpose. That God gets the glory through our life. So what brings God glory? Well, people coming to Jesus Christ as their Savior, that brings God glory. Christians, as we live holy, godly lives and for His honor, that brings Him glory. Being salt and light to those that are around us, using that influence brings God glory. Some people, they want to run away from that in their life. Sometimes just fear. Well, God can't use me, so I'm not even going to try. I'm glad that God uses everybody. And every person that's here tonight, God has us here for a reason. There's no accidents, no mistakes, no oopsies in God's plan. He gave us all a purpose to glorify Him. Of every age, it says, let no man despise thy youth, from the youngest to the oldest. It's incredible the impact that some of these young people can have at their schools, with the family. But sometimes they don't like listening to us adults, but they'll listen to these young people. That's why we're training them now, so they can be firm in the Word of God, to know what they believe and how to share it with others. We don't want them to run from it. We want to model that for them. So let's let God use us wherever He's put us to shine for Him. And there's really two ways here that He gives us that we can shine our lights. One is with our words and sharing the gospel. Whether it's giving somebody a track, whether it's telling them, hey, God loves you, Jesus died on the cross for your sins. Pastor mentions as he's playing basketball, this guy sharing the gospel with him. Wherever we're at, telling people what Jesus has done for us. Even just tell them, hey, this is what God has done in my life. It's not complex. It's very simple in many ways. But using our words, and then he says using our works. Says living the gospel. One commentator said, the world cannot just hear our good words, but they must see our good works. And we've all probably been around someone who knew how to talk the talk. They knew how to talk themselves up, but they didn't match what they said. And sadly, there's been people who have been Christians and said, oh yeah, you need to be a Christian, and their lives didn't match, and it hurts the cause of Christ. And I've probably met many people who said, oh, and yeah, I met some Christians before. I don't want anything to do with that. Hopefully that would never be said because of me or because of us. And so it's not just things we say, it's the way that we live our life. And the good works, the things that we do, they prove our love for Him. And so they don't bring us closer to God. God doesn't love us more because of what we do. We do it because we love Him. And it might bring others closer to Him. So when they see the way we live our life, that's foreign. People that don't know God, they don't know Jesus Christ, serving others, loving others, that is not human nature. That is opposite. That is Jesus Christ through us. So when they see it, they know there's something different about this person. They're not just saying something different, they're living something different. It's interesting, as you read through the New Testament, especially the book of Acts, how are they identified? By the message that they told and the way they live their life. All throughout the book of Acts and through the New Testament. It's the same today. And so we want people to see God working in our life, things that they can't explain. Again, not for us, but to point people to Him. And when they feel and see the difference in us, God will use that to point them to Him. One person said, when the church is absolutely different from the world, she invariably attracts it. A lot of churches got up because they're like, oh, we got to become just like the world in order to reach them as backwards. We're supposed to be different. Again, not in the sense of just being weird, but in the things we say and the way we live our life is total opposite. And we can only reach them by being distinct. So how are we doing being salt and light? Is there things in our life that's contaminating our salt, that are pulling us away? Are there things that is covering up our light? We're not being the influence that God would want us to be. Are we seeking to please Him in all that we do so that others might see Jesus through our lives? And I think I could speak for everyone in here that we want these young people to love and serve God because of our influence on them, not in spite of it. I hope that none of these young people, as they get older, say, oh man, I'm still serving God, but not because of whoever. And many of us probably know people in our life that weren't the best. I'm thankful we got to spend some time with my parents this last week, and I'm so thankful for the influence they had on my life. I'm not where I am today in spite of them, but in many ways because of the influence they had and many others. So let's ask God to continue to help us being salt and light. Let's pray. Dear God, we thank you for Jesus Christ and for sending him to die on the cross for our sins, not just so that we could be in heaven forever, but so that we can make a difference in the lives of those that are around us. God, we just thank you for these young people that are here tonight. Lord, ask that you'd continue working in their lives, that you'd help them to be used in an incredible way. Lord, that you help each and every one of us, especially those of us adults, to continue being the right influence on their life, to keep modeling the love of Christ, to keep showing them what it means to live this Christian life as you would have us, obeying the word of God in all that we can. Lord, I just ask that you give us a great rest of the night. We just thank you again for your goodness to us. In Jesus' name, amen. All right. Well, thank you again, everyone, for coming out. I know we've got some refreshments in.